An interesting thing about wind, the militarists in Japan had told them for centuries that they were protected by a divine wind, that the homelands would never be hit. And it goes back to literally, I think, the 1100s when they started to tell them that. And that the word kamikaze, as I understand it, means divine wind. Well, here are our raiders realizing that they don't have the range to get to dry land after they have delivered their bombs, and on all 16 airplanes did deliver their bombs. But then a storm came up, or you found yourselves in a storm, and you had a little divine wind of your own that changed the headwind.
We did not. Have any storms until after we'd flown pretty much of the mission. After we left Japan, we flew south for about maybe 100 miles so that any Navy vessel, Japanese, wouldn't maybe not think that we were going to China. But after we were maybe 4 hours into the flight after we left Japan, Hank Potter, the navigator, passed a note up to it and said that we had we were going to be 180 miles short based on his fuel consumption figures. What we didn't know was that that storm had formed over Japan and created the tailwind, which made it possible for us to make China. But without knowing that, we were cruising along and based on Hank's figures, Colonel Doolittle said, we will practice our ditching procedure, which we did. But at that time, he spoke and said, if we have to ditch, we'll ditch by a friendly vessel and get to a friendly port. If we have to ditch by the enemy vessel, they'll take us aboard, and if things work out, we'll try to take over that vessel. Now, considering what we had to protect ourselves with, which is six or five 45s, and I've wondered ever since how we were going to do that. But anyway,
I would not have bet it against you.
One of the good things that did come out of that was I started thinking personally, if we have to go down in the water, how do we survive? My mind reverted back to my Boy Scout handbook, which explained how you can get water and you can eat by trying to catch fish, which I remembered one procedure was to take some piece of clothing and big enough and punch holes in it and make a net and catch a mini or two.
So you were preparing for a fish dinner.
Fortunately, we didn't have to ditch.
Well, because of the storm, there were a number of factors. Again, as I understand it, and I want to be corrected, and I know I will be if I'm wrong, not only were they in a storm, it's at night, it's pitch black. The Chinese in eastern China, hearing these airplanes arriving, thought they were Japanese and cut all electricity, but But more than that, the field where they planned to land, there was supposed to be a homing beacon there, and that was not there. Is that correct?
That's correct. The C-47 was carrying the homing station, crashed on the way there. Of course, the sad part was it killed all of the people on board. So we had no homer.
So they have no beacon, they're out of gas, it's pitch black, and there's no lights anywhere. So there wasn't much to do but fly them out of gas. And maybe you could tell us how you entered China without a passport.
But fortunately, we all bailed out successfully, and we're all together the next day. And we were picked up by some friendly Chinese. We were in occupied Japanese territory, but the people that picked us up were able to keep us ahead of the Japanese, and we finally made it to a place where the American Volunteer Group, or AVG, had a flight of P-40. They also had some communications equipment.
Dick?
Yeah.
How did you spend your first night in China?
It's not at all as bad as it sounds. My chute drifted over a pine tree, and I ended up about 12 feet off the ground. I'd like to relate a little bit about what happened that was of benefit to the mission. The fact that we did bomb Japan caused the Japanese to reconsider all the troops and equipment and the stuff that they'd scattered out over Asia, because they definitely had Australia and India and Burma in their sights. What happened is that they withdrew a lot of equipment, and for some reason they sent two carriers to Alaska. And at that time, we only had four carriers. They had six. But by sending the two to Alaska, it evened up the odds between the Navy and Japan on Midway. And the Navy was able to gain the upper hand, and that was the beginning of the Japanese downfall.
I think the Japanese lost four carriers at the Battle of Midway, and this was 2 months, less than 2 months, after the Doolittle Raid. And I don't believe they ever had another victory in the Pacific after that. So, yes, it was a great morale boost for the country what these men did, but it changed the outcome of the war in the Pacific. This was an incredibly important and historic mission. And I know that we're short on time, but there's a couple of things I'd like to say, if I could. I listened to General Brady the other day say, when you pick your heroes, pick good people. And I have two Dick Cole stories. After we spent all this time together, and if you think these guys haven't been interviewed and put on television before, you're wrong. The guys like us come along all the time, but we went down and spent time with him at his home, and eventually we got this 4 hours done. It was on the military channel, and I think it played in the fall sometime. And I came home the following New Year's Day, and there was a message on my home phone. And I don't think I ever gave you my home phone. And I hit that button in a hurry, and it said, "This is Dick Cole." I said, "I want to thank you for the wonderful program you did and wish you the happiest possible New Year." I was never so sorry I missed a phone call and never so glad I had a tape. So, and here's my second Dick Cole story. Naturally, when we interviewed him about the Doolittle raid, I asked him what he did after the raid. He said, well, I stayed in the theater. I flew over the hump. I flew transport C-47s. And not being the brightest bulb in the tree, I dutifully wrote that down. And then I started on the way home. I went, wait a minute. Why would they take Jimmy Doolittle's co-pilot and make him a transport pilot? And I, you know, not all the stories of the China-Burma India Theater are well told, but you may know the story of the first Air Commandos. And the first Air Commandos were the first special ops unit ever by the U.S. Army Air Corps. And the reason they were formed is because Burma fell in, I think, May of 42. And that was the western terminus of the Burma Road, which was China's supply lifeline. That's why these guys had to make these very risky flights over the hump, over the Himalayas. They call it, I think, the Aluminum Highway or something like that. But there was a very bold plan developed by a British officer to go in behind Japanese lines and disrupt enough to undo that situation and open up that supply line back to keep China in the war. It would have been a horrendous circumstance had China capitulated, and that's a whole nother history lesson. But sometime Google, and I can't believe that's a verb, the first Air Commandos in a thing called Operation Thursday, which is an operation in which the first Air Commandos put 10,000 troops, 500,000 pounds of material, 1,000 horses, 100 mules, construction equipment, and they did it with gliders. They towed gliders. And a little light bulb went on in my head finally, and I said, Dick, were you part of the first Air Commandos? Yep. I said, did you have anything to do with Operation Thursday? Can you tell them?
Well, first off, I didn't want to be a permanent co-pilot. I wanted to be my own man, and in a sense. That was another chance to be with a bunch of good professional guys, good camaraderie, and it was worth the effort.
Well, part of the point of my Dick Cole First Air Commandos story is he wasn't going to tell me if I didn't ask. That's not how he rolls. That's not how the Doolittle Raiders roll. They just do their job. And I'm blessed to know you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, before you leave, I got a couple of announcements. Do not forget your medallion. Vietnam veterans, come up here and form on me. Only in Oshkosh and only here at Warbirds and Review are you going to hear history like that. Thanks for watching Warbirds and Review.